Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 73 of the Interviews Podcast. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter-Genoa at the San Siro, which finished 2-1 to the host. Goals from Cristian Aslani, first in an Inter kit in the 30th minute. Alexis Sanchez, 8 minutes later, off of a penalty. Vasquez in the 54th minute, and it ends 2-1 to us, who have now opened up a 15-point lead over second-place Juventus with 27 games played. 72 points was Inter's total for all of the 2022-2023 season with several rounds to go. What is it? 8 plus 3 with 11 rounds to go. So that's good. I mean, that's pretty good. I think Interisti should feel very confident. But if you've been on Twitter, you've probably seen a bit of both. You've probably seen some celebration. You've probably seen some detractors, which is pretty typical of this fan base. But we'll talk about it all. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. And Johnny, why don't we start off right there? Let's start with sentiment. Inter is 15 points clear. That is undeniable. What happened today on the pitch wasn't the cleanest. It wasn't the domination that we've come to expect. So I'll ask it this way. How do you feel, and how should Interisti be feeling right now?
I feel great, to be quite honest. You need these types of matches where you go through adversity, where you don't play your best, where you don't look too convincing, but you get 3 points. This is what makes champions. You know, if it was every game was easy, you know what happens if we won every game 4-0, or if we won every game, you know, by multiple goals? Then you just get complacent. You get lazy. You think it's just everyone's just going to roll over and die and just give it to you. Genoa, which, listen, hats off to them. Hats off to Gilardino. I think he did a fantastic job preparing his squad to come into the San Siro. And if you look at it, a lot of those guys haven't been there before. A lot of those guys, I think really, truly, actually outside of Strootman, I don't think they're Bade. Okay, so outside of two guys in their team, not a single one of them has played in that type of environment against Inter in the San Siro.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot to put on guys like Goodmanson, Retegi, Vasquez, Frederick. You know, these are all young guys. Martinez, who I think is a fantastic goalkeeper. You know, there's a lot of good youth there. And listen, I'm not a fan of the moral victory thing, you know, like, oh, you played hard. I mean, listen, I know I said it last year with us, you know, losing 1-0 to Man City in the Champions League final. But at the end of the day, it's still a loss. Right. So but they can. It's not for a lack of effort on Genoa's part at all. So for us to come out with 3 points by not playing our best game by any means, that's what champions have to do. And that makes you feel better going into the match with Bologna, who I think is going to be a very difficult tie for us. It makes you feel better going into the match with Atletico. I think, you know, you could even argue that they were maybe looking a little bit ahead to those matchups and more focused on that. Kind of were overlooking Genoa, but you know what? It didn't happen. And man, I'm very happy with it.
Let's talk about Genoa a little bit, because we shouldn't. This is a team that was promoted from Serie B, but they shouldn't be treated as, you know, they were supposed to be a pushover. This is the second loss that they've had in 12 league games. They're one of the more in-form teams in Serie A, and they came to play here. I mean, they're playing. Like, they don't want to, you know, they have a pretty good lead over the drop, but they're also only, what, well, now with the loss, they're 4 points behind Torino, but you know, they had a shot at cracking the top 10. And they came to play, and they have a lot of good players. Zlategi is a good player. Goodmanson is a good player. These are all players that
he's a Frendrup, great player.
Yeah, Frendrup is a good player. These are all players that, you know, are potentially playing for moves in the future. Martinez is a good goalkeeper. So it's not, Genoa shouldn't have been looked as a pushover as many fans probably did. I think a lot of the criticism of Inter from Interisti is a little like, you're being a little like naive. I don't know what 38 game campaign you guys have seen in the past, but there are games where you don't look your best. Not to mention, like, again, Thuram was out from the start. He did come in and play a bit today. Çalhanoğlu still missing. Bastoni wasn't playing today. You know, there was some rotation in the squad, and you also can't discount, like, you have a 12 point lead over second place. Like, there's a natural sort of drop in motivation. Like, is this a product of the lack of a challenge? Would we have played better if there was more at stake here? Because frankly, we could have dropped all 3 points and you're still 12 points over the next closest opponent. So nothing about what happened today particularly worries me, other than like Interisti, who are a little bit just like unrealistic or maybe spoiled with how good this season has been. Again, we just tally the same amount, the total amount of points that we had through 38 matches last year, and there's still 8 matches to go. So it's like, I mean, we are tops in the league for goals scored. We're the best defense in the league. We're headed towards, you know, potentially a clean sheet record in the league. We're headed towards potentially a points record in the league. Nothing about today it particularly worries me moving forward. And I also think getting these 3 points is huge, because Bologna, the game doesn't necessarily matter. Again, like, you could drop 3 points and still be 12 points ahead of your next closest rival. Obviously you want to pick up points in every match and you want to continue to show your dominance, but we also have to be like how upset do you want to be? How upset do you want to be? Can we not be like appreciative of what we've seen this year? And I don't even think it was like a bad performance. I thought there were, here's how I'll characterize a performance. I thought there were stretches where we took our foot off the gas and it was very clear. But there were also stretches in the game where we played good football and, you know, we deserved to win. But this game did give us a good amount to talk about, so we can go ahead and jump right into it. So starting lineups, Alexis is chosen to partner Lautaro, DiMarco and Dumfries on the wings, a midfield three of Mickey Barella and Aslani, a back three of Augusto De Vrij, Pavard, and Sommer in net. No real surprises. I think it was probably Arnautovic and Alexis, but Arnautovic did just put in 90 minutes. So, you know, this is the lineup that they decided to go for. I thought it was interesting. Did you see anything regarding oh, no, Dumfries was subbed out. So Dumfries only got 45 because of the yellow card. Okay.
Yeah.
So no worries there. All right. So let's get into the game. Fairly slow start from Inter. Genoa had, you know, a couple good opportunities, but it really did feel like there was a lot of slower ball circulation, just kind of working ourselves into the match. Until the 24th minute, Mkhitaryan plays a ball into Barella, who shoots it narrowly over the crossbar. That's the first real opportunity for us, until 2 minutes later in the 26th minute, Sommer making one of his saves. And you almost, there's been a little question of how much of the clean sheet stuff and the stuff that we've seen from the defense has been Sommer, because the defense has been so good that he hasn't been relied on. But I think that this was, that save that he made on Retegi's header was a reminder that there's a top class keeper in net. It just showed us what we know of Sommer, which is that his reflexes are still there at the tender age of, what is he, 34? 35 years old, still making saves like that. Pretty incredible to see, and a turning point for us because we sort of picked it up after that.
Yeah, fantastic effort on the save for sure. You know, Retegi, I thought got very well high. I mean, it was pretty bad for Pavard to lose his man that way, but Retegi got up really well. He did what I would want to see a striker do, which is headed downward. I think he did the right thing. Maybe he tried to put a little bit too much into the ground and not so much directly on goal. Whatever, I'll take it though. And then the reflexes by Sommer, who was going the other direction to adjust and then dive across to make the save. Huge, man. I mean, especially in the moment, you know, going down 1-0 there would have been, I mean, I don't think we would have been broken. I don't think that would have changed the outcome. It may have put a little bit more pressure, and who knows, maybe we may have woken the team up because we were a little lackadaisical in the first half there initially. Very sloppy play, sloppy passing by a few of our midfielders and stuff. So maybe that changes things and puts lights of fire under them. But regardless, great save by Sommer, and yeah, huge for the moment.
I think sometimes this team does need a little kick in the ass to get going. You know, there's the big games where we come flying out the blocks, but then there's the games like this where, you know, maybe we need to go a goal down or you know, have a scare like that in order to pick it up. On the Retegi topic here, so he didn't get on the score sheet today. Genoa did. They did break that clean sheet streak for us, but Retegi was an Inter target. We ended up moving with Arnautovic and Alexis, but I want to toss you this question.
Yes.
Actually, two questions.
Oh, sorry.
Two questions. Is there regret on your part to not bring in Retegi, even considering what has to be said? Like, he wouldn't have played much this season. If you look at the minutes from Alexis and Arnautovic, like, I don't know how much trust Retegi would have gotten. Do you have any regrets over Inter not signing him, number one? And number two, what percentage would you put on Luciano Spalletti taking Retegi to the Euros this summer?
I still have regrets personally. And listen, I know people are going to disagree with me. I know people are going to have very different opinions. And that's what's great about being a fan. You're allowed to have different opinions. I still think that he would have been good to have coming off the bench. You could see with his hold-up play just what he's able to offer, which is the same pretty much thing that Arnautovic offers with his hold-up play. You know, he's a guy that I just think has so much potential. I've always referred to him as Icardi Light. The finishing is a little bit off compared to Icardi. Of course, Icardi was world-class in finishing. But the hold-up play is good. I think Retegi has better link-up play and is better at finding his teammates, moving in the space. He does a lot of more running into those channels where he can kind of get behind defenders as opposed to Icardi, who could be a little bit more stationary. But yeah, I am a big Retegi fan. I think that for 12 million, you couldn't have gone wrong. And let's say you brought in Sanchez, you know, as the third guy. Now, granted, I am not his biggest fan by any means, but if it means we would have had a guy with this kind of potential who could eventually elevate himself to being the frontline guy for the Italian national team, it also puts you in a better situation where if someone does come with that $95 million release clause for Thuram, now you already have a guy who is potentially ready to step in if he, you know, is given some opportunities. Maybe he can move, maybe not even to the starter, but to be the third choice. And, you know, maybe you use some of that money to maybe, who knows, you know, Xerxes or someone else. But you can start to refresh still with young players and not be, you know, scrambling to find more veteran presences and stuff like that. Now, I mean, in terms of him with the national team, what percentage? Let's take a look at what we have available to us at center forward, right? Chiro Immobile is going to be too old for the Euros. Listen,
right, he should not be anywhere near the national team.
He shouldn't be. As much as I appreciate him for what he's done for Serie A, what he's been able to do at Lazio, the goal-scoring prowess, fantastic. It's, for whatever reason, does not translate the same way to the national team. That's a no. Gianluca Scamacca, a guy who, I'll be honest, I said on this podcast that I wanted him to be the striker that we signed. And man, am I glad that, one, it didn't happen. Two, I was wrong. Which, hey, Julian, you never like to admit that you're wrong, but I digress. Wrong about Skamaka. And now had we done that, I still say we would not have Pavard. Now, Huyan took that as me saying that, oh, but you're defending Arnautovic. That is not what I was saying. Not even close. I was just basically saying that I'm okay with Arnautovic being the striker if it means I have Benjamin Pavard in my defense, as opposed to probably having Skamaka and Arnautovic or Skamaka and Sanchez. Either way, wouldn't have been good. So you look at who's left to be the actual striker. They have fantastic wide options. You got Orsolini. You got Chiesa. You got Raspadori. You have... now I'm drawing a blank on what
I would even put Raspadori centrally. I would consider him
just because then that kind of negates what you have on the wings. Crossing
if
that.
You
he's
do Orsolini Chiesa, he's not a target guy. No,
he's not.
I mean, you have Nyonto as well.
Have him. Yeah, exactly. Nyonto could be an option. There's so many guys that available on the wing that it's like, why would you not want a guy? But I think he's strong in the air. He's good at hold-up plays, which would allow him to lay off balls to the wingers, whether it be, you know, left side, right side. He is able to link up the play. To me, he is the only option. Now, what percentage do I give on him being brought? I honestly would say maybe 80%. I do think there is a chance that he doesn't get taken. For what reason, I would never understand.
It seemed like there was more momentum under Mancini than there is with Spalletti, because it seemed like he really wanted to make Skamaka work, but that may, you know, that equation may be changing a little bit as the season's unfolding.
Not that I wish injury on anybody, but with Berardi now being ruled out, how do you not take Kredegi now?
Yeah.
I
like him just purely from the, like, fox in the box perspective. Like, we don't have a lot of those. I wouldn't consider Immobile that type of player anymore. So yeah, I would absolutely take him. As far as regrets are concerned, I don't have any regrets, and I actually think that I could see Retegi end up at Inter one day. I think
for
this 25 management,
35 45 million and now what?
Yeah, I mean, this management has shown that they will latch on to a player and go back in for him multiple times. So we'll see how that shakes out, but it certainly is not a conversation where you're like, oh, we fucked up so badly, because let's look at the results.
Well, yeah, I didn't say that.
No, I'm just saying, you know, for anyone that's going to comment
like
on
just like, you know, putting words in my mouth and making up things now.
Ugh, the Huyan back and forth, man. One day we'll hash it out.
Not while I'm all right. Here.
All right. Eventually, Inter goes up in the 30th minute. Alexis Sanchez gets himself an assist, plays to Ruslani, who roofs it into the roof of the net. Just like an awesome finish. Awesome for the kid to get involved. Awesome for him to get on the score sheet finally. Was this Aslani's one of his better performances in an Inter shirt? Is it the best performances he's had in an Inter shirt?
No.
Not the best.
Not the best by any means. Listen, I'm happy for him to get his first goal. That's got to be a huge moment for any player. But to me, you know, I look at how he played in the second half, and I think that kind of takes away from the thrilling, you know, finishing that he had with a goal in the first half. A lot of sloppy plays, inability.
Can I toss some numbers your way?
Let's hear it, because again,
can I toss some numbers?
We'll go ahead.
There's the eye test for sure, and I do think in the second half it was more of his he was exposed defensively with how often Genoa was counterattacking. You sort of saw the deficiencies in his game, but let's throw some numbers. A goal on two shots, 77 out of 77, 100% pass accuracy. One chance created, 5 for 5 on long balls. 96 total touches. Thoughts?
I would love to see who does the
calculations. I was surprised to see that 100 out of
There was a few missed passes that led
there was
to
one to DiMarco that
for,
didn't Yeah, I know for sure.
There was two chances that turned into to opportunities going the opposite direction. So how is it possible he went like this? Again, this is why I don't go off of these FUTMOB or anybody else, because what they consider a pass and not a pass is different than what I would consider
correctly.
Pass.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there is error. There is error. I'm sorry.
There was a switch to DeMarco that didn't come off. I remember that.
There was the switch to DeMarco. There was a ball in the midfield where he just turned and blindly passed it, and it went right to, I don't even remember who it was in the midfield. It might have been Strootman for Genoa, and then Genoa was on the counter. There was another one where he also turned in the midfield, kind of lost his footing, and maybe because it wasn't really a fully attempted pass, but he did try to pass it. That was taken away. I think it was by Spence. He made me want to punch my monitor watching him play, because I was just getting so for like, you're taught as a kid to never turn into the middle of the pitch. That just leads to trouble always. And he did it twice. I'm not going to be using this, oh, he's a kid excuse anymore. You've got to learn this stuff now, because when it comes, it's easy to get away with it against Genoa. How's it going to look when it happens against a Milan, against a Juve, against Bayern Munich, against Manchester City? Are we going to rely on him in those instances if he continues to do this?
But we also, in fairness, like, I don't know, we've seen that a lot from some of the elite midfielders that developed at our club. Like, Brozzo wasn't good for quite a while.
And we had the podcast then, I would have been saying the same things about Brozovic then. Like, this is Inter. This isn't Empoli anymore. Okay? You can get away with that when you're about to get relegated. You cannot get away with that here. It's the same problems I have with Mkhitaryan. Mkhitaryan upset me a lot today. I tweeted out, I'm done with him.
Why? Why are you tweeting these things?
Do you not see these passes?
Yeah, but turnovers that lead to chances. You can't say I'm done with him when we're talking about like a someone who's played the second most minutes on the team behind Sommer in a team that is.
And does that make sense? Is when it does that make sense to you?
It does. I mean, he does. Look, I'm not as down
America,
on
Europe, Asia, wherever you are, Australia, wherever you are listening to this. Alessandro is Mr. Sunshine and Rainbows and refuses to face realities. Refuses to face facts. He's just walking on cloud nine. I wish I could live on cloud nine. I wish I could live in that mindset where you don't recognize the problem.
Of course, they're listen, but I don't think that they're problems. I don't think that
you don't think turning the ball over is a problem. You don't think misplaying passes?
Of course, it's a problem. Listen, of course, it's a problem, but it's not a problem that has led to any significant blowback for Inter. Like, I don't think it's a problem for a 21-year-old to continue his development. And
I had a problem with his continued development. I have a problem when he continues to make same mistakes.
I'm not saying that you have a problem with it. I'm saying like it's gonna look uneven sometimes. And I'm not highlighting it as an issue is because I've seen it from players that eventually developed into world class. I mean, Hakan sucked for a while. Like, you know, there's development. It's not. I mean, it's not a straight line. It's sometimes it looks up and down.
I don't think he sucked at Inter. I think he sucked at
Milan. He didn't suck at Inter, but he came to Inter when he was 27, 28 years old, as opposed to Aslani. Like, I know you don't. I know you're not saying
Hamburg. He sucked at Milan.
He sucked at Milan. Yeah, but Milan was a big step up in the same way that, you know, Inter is a big step up.
But look at the managers he was playing under and look at the situation he had there. You know, like, he's going to suck. I think maybe because I think Milan sucks in general, but I don't know. I mean, you saw the potential at Hamburg. You saw, I mean, listen, he was considered a free kick specialist. Now that hasn't translated to Italy. But you saw that there was glimpses of brilliance. I honestly have seen maybe two long passes that Aslani has given, which I was like, wowed. Like, I mean, truly wowed. Yeah. And those have been like the two moments of brilliance. Other than that, I don't know.
I think he's been better than how you're characterizing it.
I think he's been better this season. Yeah, sure. He's been better overall. But I think that you expect a bigger leap. You expect more, like, I just don't expect you to make the same mistakes over and over again. And listen, you could say I'm nitpicking here and I'm picking on this kid. I wanted to buy stocks on him heavy. I really did. I was hoping that he would really just turn into this like super guy that would make it easy for us that, hey, if an offer came for Hakan, maybe we can entertain that idea. Not saying we should sell Hakan, but like now it's like I don't ever want to sell Hakan because I don't see this guy turning into
that we expect. Let's put you on the seat here. Aslani's career, is he going to eventually take over the mantle as Inter's Regista, or is that not going to happen?
Personally, right now, I'll say I don't think so. That doesn't mean in a year that I won't change my mind or he won't have a development.
Of course.
Listen, I hope that I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I hope I'm wrong about every single thing. I would much rather say, hey, I'm sorry, here's your flowers, and apologize to these players and whatever, than be right and be like, come on here and be like, so you told you. Like, I mean, not that I want to do that either, but like, that's not what brings me joy. I want these guys to turn into world beaters. Like right now, like Bisek, I think is going to be an absolute monster. He hasn't shown me any sign that he like isn't getting it. In fact, I see him growing in the defensive aspect, which is what you want from a player of this age to continue to do, which is great.
Regista is a much different task. Exactly. Than right center back.
It is more so the metronome of the pitch.
Yeah.
Where you're the one who's kind of dictating everything, but...
Can you, off the top of your head, name 21-year-old Registas that are bossing it right now in the biggest clubs in the world?
I mean, Hulman looks really good.
He's at Sporting.
I don't think he's 21 anymore.
He's at Sporting. He's like 23 and he's at Sporting.
So Sporting's not a big club? I mean, he was at Lecce, and now he just went to Sporting.
Yeah, he's continuing to improve. Playing Regista for Inter in Serie A.
Listen, if it were up to me, he would be playing Regista in Serie A.
All right, well.
I'm a big Hulman fan. You know, I think he's great. I'm trying to think who else. Off the top of my head, nobody really comes to mind off the top. That's 21.
Yeah, are you wrong for being critical of an uneven performance from an Inter player? No. I saw some good things. I saw some bad things, but I do have faith in the kid, and I do want him to continue to get minutes and kind of give Hakan a little bit of a break, because it's not only this season and last season, it's going to be next season as well, where we're going to need all these guys, because I think with the Club World Cup, we're lined up for 10 more matches than we're playing this year, and we're already playing more matches than anyone else in Europe. So like, we kind of need him to develop, because I don't see investment into the Regista role this summer. But anyway, let's continue on with this game. 34 minutes in, a penalty for Inter. I'll just give you how I saw it. That was hard for me to call a penalty, because his shot was already in the side netting by the time the tackle came in. If my understanding is correct from the rules that Nemo was having an argument on Twitter, and also guys, I have not been on Twitter for most of the day. I was working. B, the second I started to see, like, you know, 20 minutes in, notifications popping up criticizing Inter, I was kind of out on it. Because it's not like I'm not really in the mood for that. So I think according to the rules, it's still a penalty because it was a studs up foul in the box, but I thought it was soft. I don't think it's by any means the Marotta League stuff. I think the Marotta League stuff is getting cuter by the day, that it's so hard to comprehend Inter playing this well that it just has to be the one of the most hated clubs in Italy getting favoritism for the first time in 100 fucking years. But anyway, it was a softer penalty for me. I think by the rule book, it is a penalty. They even went to the monitor. So that's how I felt about it. But regardless, what did you think of the spot kick there?
Listen, to me, it was a penalty. Now I get where people are coming from. You know, and even in Interisti were saying, you know, it's a soft penalty, it's this, it's that. But like, when you look at the rule book, right, from IFAB, and you have to be in control of your feet when you're going into the box, into any challenge, like any defender. I understand the shot was let go. However, you have to consider the offense. You have to consider the three criteria that is used to measure on if it's a foul: speed, force, and point of contact. In terms of speed, so they measure it, you know, when they have to measure when deciding high, medium, low. In terms of speed, that checks off as high. He's coming in full speed. He's trying to stop Barella from scoring. He's coming in full speed. In terms of force, for me personally, now, I mean, I'm assuming that they, obviously the referee agreed with me on this aspect because he did award a penalty, medium, right? I don't think that he went in full force. He did catch his follow-through.
Studs were up. Studs were up.
But I think when he finally did come down or come in, he did put his, try to angle his foot down. But I'd have to see it again. Right now, I'm just going off the top of my head. But in terms of force, I would give it a medium. I don't think that he went as hard as he could have into that challenge and caused, you know, actual damage. And then point of contact. He hit him on the follow-through leg. Now, if he hit his planted leg, it's a high one. So if you look at high, medium, medium, none of that was low. It's a penalty. Plain and simple. Now, I mean, where me and someone got in a disagreement is whether it was reckless or careless. And if you look by the rule of law, there is different definitions to each one, even though they are, you know, big similarities.
Whoops.
Oh, I was like, I didn't know what you were doing.
Sorry, I'm sharing my screen. I'm showing the penalty right now, so we're looking at it.
Okay, so here he comes. Yeah, see, foot was down.
It's the trailing leg. Yeah, I don't...
Yes. But, look, full speed. He's coming in hot. And I could see where he, you know, this gentleman was telling me that it was careless. So, by the rules of the law, a careless foul is when a player shows a lack of attention or consideration when making a challenge or acts without precaution. Reckless is when the player acts with disregard to the danger or consequence for the opponent and must be cautioned. To me, I thought it was a little reckless going in that way. He was lucky that he didn't get the planted leg and only got the follow through one, so it was already elevated. I could see where you can make a case for each one. I lean more on the reckless side, and also it checked off those other boxes. They went to the video, they called it a penalty still. I don't get why, you know, Interisti are saying it's not a penalty. I'm struggling to understand, but
it's probably a little bit of like PTSD from constantly having to hear about Marotta League, where if there is any sort of back and forth discussion about it, it's almost like, fuck, like, of course this is going to be what the topic of discussion is. But yeah, I mean, you've convinced me. I think if I, you know, we're doing our best to be unbiased. I will also never claim to not be biased. Like, I am biased for Inter. So, you know, that's how my opinions skew. I am a fan of this team and it's hard. I love this fucking team. So it's hard for it to not be biased. But if that had gone against Inter, I would probably be fairly upset. That's how I'll characterize my feelings
I do try to be unbiased. Yes, I do have biases. I will not lie about that. But I do try to be unbiased. And to me, if we did that, let's say Carlos Augusto comes sliding in like that on Retegui, to me, it's still a penalty. You know, like, I mean, would I have been upset if they didn't call it for Inter? Probably not. Like, I wouldn't have been like, oh my gosh, the corruption.
I wouldn't have been upset either. Yeah.
I wouldn't have gone crazy. But to me, it was a penalty. You know, like, I mean, yeah. And like, look, I mean, if you want to look it up, just look it up on IFAB. I mean, I didn't make these up. I didn't just lie about this. I read that straight from their rule books. I mean,
just go follow Nima. You know,
don't follow Nima. Posted that terrible account. Terrible. Don't follow Nima. Follow us. we know more than Nima. Nima is a Napoli fan, die hard. I mean, ask him what his favorite player is. Ask him who his favorite player is of all time.
Giovanni De Lorenzo?
Close enough. No, Diego Maradona.
Yeah.
Maradona didn't play for Inter.
No, he did not. Nima Napolista.
Makes you think.
All right. So who steps up to convert the penalty? It is Alexis Sanchez, a name that we brought up last episode, talking about players that we could see taking a penalty for Inter.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Seeing this penalty, I mean, we're watching it right now, sharing the screen. It's a fucking beautiful penalty. I mean, you can't hit them much better than that. Johnny, look at you know, you guys should see Johnny's face right now. Like you actually can't hit them sweeter than that.
No,
puts his foot through the ball.
It is a perfect penalty.
Right in the corner of the net.
No,
ripples
no keeper,
the net hard.
No keeper is saving that. I mean,
I think you see that and you say, yeah, he's got to be part
also,
of my
five.
Also,
can we talk about these kids? I thought I was going to like them. I actually don't like them in person.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle? No. Yeah, I haven't been a fan of that gimmick stuff. I like when it's a consistent sponsor all throughout the year.
I'm not
the Transformers one was better than this, though.
The Transformers one was definitely better than this, but this looks like, honestly, like something a kid designed on FIFA Ultimate Team or Pro Clubs. Like, it's a little janky. I thought I was going
to the length that Johnny will go to not respect Alexis. Now he wants to talk about the kits instead.
It was a perfect penalty. You couldn't hit it any better.
So
yeah,
has he convinced you that he's got to be part of your five?
I thought.
Look at this.
I kind of want to listen. I thought I said that he should be part of the five.
Did you say he should be part?
Oh, no. You know, no. I went Lautaro, Hakan, Bastoni, Di Marco. Did I say Turam? I might have said Turam. That might have been my five, but. Yeah, no, I would be okay. I'd be okay.
I think you'd feel pretty good after seeing that.
Like, if he gets in the five, or let's say he doesn't, but we go to another shooter, he could be six.
Yeah. The last big action of the first half is a quick penalty check on Mattia Banni. It did hit him in the chest and then hit him in the arm. It's never a penalty. Play on. All good. All good with that.
Not even close.
So Inter goes into the break 2-0 up. The Nerazzurri have won 17 times out of 19 with a halftime lead this season. So pretty tough to go into a second 45 with this team two goals to the good against you. But regardless, Genoa comes out and they play much better. Much better than what we saw in the first half. They were dangerous in the first half, but this was like there was a lot more cohesion to their play. And do you think this was a little bit of like, okay, Genoa is for real and they're taking it to us? Or do you think what we saw from them throughout the second half as a whole was Inter taking their foot off the gas?
I think it's a combination of the two. Like I said, I don't think Genoa is a joke. I like a lot of their players. I think they are extremely talented. They're well coached. You know, I tweeted out that Girardino is the next Italian super coach. You know, I think it goes Mota and then Girardino.
Well, do you consider Mota as Italian?
Who did he play for?
He played for Inter.
And then what national team did he play for?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So he is the next Italian super coach.
Okay. All right.
And he has Italian blood. He's got Brazilian and Italian blood. Plays for Italy. Didn't play for Brazil.
I thought I just always saw him as a Brazilian.
Because his name is Thiago.
That might be it.
And I'm trying to see now real quick before I forget if anyone said we got Lautaro, Barella, Lautaro, Arnautovic, Lautaro, Barella, Lautaro. Nobody said Aslani for scoring the first goal against Genoa. So, I mean,
he was the number 10. He was the number 10 for Italy at the Euros in 2016 for Conte's Italy. That's the number 10. A lot of big respect. people like Baggio and Totti wearing that number for Italy, that's big time.
Yeah, and that's probably my hierarchy. It goes Baggio, Totti,
Motta.
Thiago Motta is the...
Thiago. But again, like we're saying, Genoa is a team that's on the ascent for sure. And it showed, and they scored a wonder goal.
Yeah, and I think that we did take our foot off the gas for sure. I think that we had a little bit of arrogance in our game. Didn't really respect Genoa or expect. I think a lot of these guys expected them to roll over and accept defeat. And that's, if anyone saw Girardino play, that was never in his DNA. He was always trying to move in the box, smell the goal, find the goal, find a way to score. Like, whether it was for, ironically, the only team that he did poorly for was Milan, and I'm okay with that. But when he was at Fiorentina, I mean, the guy was a phenomenal finisher. And yeah, no, I was always a big fan of Girardino, and I think that he's brought that same type of mentality to his club now that he gets to manage. So yeah, hats off to him and them. But fortunately, we still were able to get maximum points.
Yeah, and an Inter that is about to go 15 points over their rivals in second place with the 2-0 lead at home. Like, you kind of understand a little bit of the, you know, not pushing, like it meant the world to them. But De Vrij goes to clear with a header. Vasquez on the edge of the box just volleys a finish into the bottom corner that Sommer had nothing. I mean, there was nothing. Like, did he even try to make the save? I don't think he even went down.
Yeah, he didn't even try. He lasered at it like Handanovic.
Yeah, no, it was like, yeah, it was.
But again, that goal, look at where that goal started from. That was from an Aslani mistake. You know, people want to blame the defenders, but De Vrij cleared it as much as he could. And then it just got through four guys. Like, I mean, Pavard tried to make a block on it. You don't make that mistake.
I like
in the
this.
Field.
I like
you
this.
Don't make that mistake.
This share screen stuff that we can do on Riverside. Like, let's watch this goal back. Like, let's see.
Alessandro wants to make
here.
This like a YouTube stream now.
Yeah, I do. This is kind of sweet. Like, maybe we should consider doing this so we can have.
I don't
you
even know if
visuals
we would be
to. Let's do it until we get the copyright strike. All right, so. Ball comes into the area.
But they're not going to show the...
De Vrij plays it. Yeah.
But they're not going to show the mistake from
who's
Aslani.
The covering defender is Mickey, right? See, like, Mickey's... I don't know that he closes that down as effectively as he could. Yeah.
But
see, Mickey's a little slow.
They don't
want to
show who really made that
they
mistake.
They don't want to show.
They don't want to show, man. It's the white liberal media, and they don't want to show...
Oh shit!
And they don't want to blame the guy from Albania, you know? Like, I mean,
let's see. So Aslani does,
but they still
he doesn't close out the. No, they show. Yeah,
they don't show
so the
turnover.
Ball gets played across in front of the box for
that. And look at that lazy closing speed from Christian Aslani. Go figure.
Yeah, like this isn't.
Guys,
necessarily.
I'm gonna give away more of his rookie cards if I keep seeing these kinds of performances, bro. Just gonna give them away.
It kind of Darmian doesn't necessarily play. I guess it gets behind him.
Darmian is was pretty bad.
It's just lazy defending. Can we just call that all around lazy?
No, because it all stems from a turnover in the middle of the pitch, which should not be happening.
All right.
Plain and simple.
Today we started off the pod like, oh, it's not that we're all good, and now
no, I'm happy
now
with
you got
the
riled
result.
Up. Happy now you got riled
with
up.
The result, but if you want to talk about individual players and how we made mistakes, I mean, listen, I'm mad at Inzaghi because he didn't bring Buchanan on. I want more Maple Mycon in my life.
Tough game, all. Yeah, you know what? Coming into this pod, I actually like I wasn't. I didn't know how I was going to feel, if I was going to be upbeat or if I was going to go attack, but I like the balance that we have right now.
Listen, I'm happy. I'm happy. 3 points, baby. 3 points. We got 50-point lead on those losers in Turin.
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 That's beautiful.
As they say in, I don't know, I forgot where I heard that actually, but they don't say Torino, they say Turin. Turin, really.
All right, let's close out this.
Might be
Brandon. Let's close out
the
second half here. Yeah, let's close out the second half. So,
cross on the left by Jed Spence, picks out Retegi, heads it wide.
Yo, that's this guy, 74th. This guy Spence, weapon.
Did you see him and Bonnie going after it?
I mean, I would too, man. I would be like, yo, get out of my way, man. I would have buried that if not for you, you bum. And then you look at, I just got an update. Love what? That. I got an Ashraf Hakimi card, number to 25.
Did you really?
I just it just got nice. Delivered. But yeah. Spence, man, the fact that Spurs lent this guy out. This guy's a weapon. He really is.
Play.
I'm surprised he hasn't been able to do more in Serie A, to be quite honest, because his pace, his dribbling, his ability to run guys down. I mean, his motor is always go, 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 go. I think this guy can be something, and I obviously I'm not a big fan of English players, but I did like what I saw from him for sure, especially the fact that he's doing it in the Serie A and not against, you know, Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a player. They have a player there. I don't know. Does he go? I think he does go back to Spurs after
this
season.
Yeah, I think he was just pretty sure it was just a loan.
Yeah. 84th minute, Thuram slips in Carlos Augusto, whose shot is blocked by Bonny. That could have finished the game, but
what minute was the block on Arnautovic or the save on Arnautovic?
That was
It was a little bit after that.
It was later. Yeah.
I mean, I wish he would have scored. Wish he would have had
that was the
90th better
minute.
Wish it would have been a better finish for sure, but
yeah, I don't care.
I mean, I don't care either. We got 3 points, but like, yeah, you hope a striker in that position is able to, you know.
I'm sorry today, guys. I just don't have it in me to like go at anyone. Like, it just. What am I like? I don't know. Maybe
why,
has
that's why you're
do
you and
think,
I'm me, bro. I'm ready to go always.
Has 12 wins or 13 wins, whatever it's been in 2024, made me soft. It might have.
Yeah, for sure. He's got a new dog. New dogs made him soft.
It might have.
12 out of 12, soft.
Went looking at engagement rings this morning.
You got the dog in the house. You don't got that dog in you.
Oh my god. So the game ends 2-1. Inter takes a, like we've mentioned several times, 15 points. Getting a little loopy here. What are we on? Minute 46. All right, let's go through these players. Let's go through them.
Yeah, let's go.
Because we've talked. Let's go. Sommer.
I'm gonna go 6 out of 10.
Yeah, let's do number ratings, and then if we need to throw out any specifics, we'll do that.
Yep,
six out of ten.
Massive save. Yeah.
I'll give him seven because
he was saved by the offside.
He was saved by the offside. Yeah,
so
that's why I'll
to me, that's a six.
I'll do seven just because the save in the first half keeps the game. The game finished 2-1. You know,
right.
It could have been.
We'll see what the listeners. We'll see who the listeners agree with.
Benji Pavard.
Six. Nothing memorable, nothing bad, just, you know, six.
First half, he was, like, very featured going forward. They were looking down his side a lot. He was on the ball
a lot. I'm still giving him a six.
Yeah. Yeah, not as best. The stats, the fake stats don't even grade out very well. Stefan De Vrij.
I'll go 6.5 out of 10.
I'll go 6 out of 10.
I thought he was better, and I thought he had some key moments. And the way he dummied Spence in the second half made me go, ooh, and I liked it. So,
Stefan De Vrij, also another 90 minutes in the book. Acerbi did come on, but he came on for...
Di Marco.
Yeah, and he played left center back. So, can we read this out real quick? Since February 16th, 90 minutes against Salernitana, 90 minutes against Atletico Madrid, 90 minutes against Lecce, 90 minutes against Atalanta, 90 minutes against Genoa.
And there were those who said that he was not good enough to replace Acerbi and that he would be soft. And the man has been anything but soft. So, you owe him an apology, America.
Should we put him in like our top? We'll see how the season ends up. I think he's a contender for one of the best players, one of the most important players for Inter of the season. Yeah, you have to understand how important
he's not in my top three, though.
Acerbi.
not top three. I'm talking like top five. I don't know. Achebe sits out for, I just read off six games.
Top five.
Your starting
top,
center back sits out for five, six games.
Like, top five, you're going to go Lauti Turam, Sommer.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Hakan.
Yep.
You got four right there.
Like, yeah, Lauti, you're choosing between.
I mean, you're giving
Barella, Pavard.
I mean, we Achebe, know who I'm voting De Vrij. For because I'm biased. So,
all right, Carlos Augusto.
Seven. Give him a seven.
Yeah, I thought he was good today. I thought he was good today. I really liked. I like what I see from him defensively.
And I like the versatility. So
yeah,
seven.
Yeah, he's a weapon. The two other defenders who made appearances today, Francesco Acerbi and Jan Aurel Bisek. What do you give them?
And it's not because I thought they did bad. I think it's because of just limited minutes and limited, I'd say five and a half each maybe.
Acerbi, there were many times today that I saw him like out of position running, you know, running after a man. But 25 minutes played after being out for so long, I'll take that. Bisek, I love everything he does.
Yeah.
I just everything he does, I'm in love with. So, 10 out of 10.
I got some more rookie cards of his coming too. Pump, pump, pump. And nice. You know what? We're going to be giving one of them away, buddy.
Let's go. 46 minutes from Denzel Dumfries today.
Who? I wish you guys could see Alessandro's face right now.
I get the notifications to the Interviews Pod Twitter. You're killing me. You're killing me.
Listen, man.
Give me a score. Out of 10.
Out of 10, I'm giving him a 5.
Okay. Right down
poor
the
challenge.
Middle.
I mean, didn't have any impact going forward. Like,
I think that's a fair score.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair score.
You got subbed off at the half for a reason. Like, you don't just get subbed. I know it's a yellow card, but it wasn't like he was, you know, there's times where people get yellow cards and he gives them a little bit of a leash. He was like, nope, none of this.
I think that's an agenda-driven comment. Matteo Darmian comes in to replace him 45 minutes.
He gets a 5-2, man. He didn't. He was pretty.
He didn't do anything.
Yikes.
Yeah,
pretty yeah. Yikes. And he was getting. And they purposely were going over his head.
Yeah, like, it did not seem like tight today.
No, they were targeting him.
Yeah. All right. Federico Di Marco, 65 minutes played. One shot, three chances created. 108% passing. No, I'm just kidding.
Di Marco. 6, I guess, maybe 5.5. Maybe, yeah. Again, not a.
Yeah, I don't know from him today. Not. He's going up against Bruno Sabelli, so you feel
wasn't
like
great.
You should have.
Wasn't great from Di Marco.
Oh, Stefano Sabelli, sorry. Yep, I'll go 6. All right, let's look at our midfield here. Nicolò Barella, 90 minutes for our young stud. Not our young stud, I guess he's 27.
What was his passing percentage since it matters so much?
It was, he was 63 out of 70, 90% passing percentage.
Ooh, I was going to say over under 85.5%, but okay, and I would have said over.
They credited him with two big chances missed.
Yeah, I believe it. And that's why he goes from a 7 to a 6.5 for me, because he missed two big chances.
Do you want to know what Fotmob gave him out of just curiosity?
Sure, so I can laugh.
7.6.
See, like, no. No.
Yeah. You're gonna hate this.
I love Barella, but a 7.6?
You are gonna hate this. Guess what? Guess who are our man of the match today, according to Fotmob?
Man of the match was Alexis Sanchez.
No, it was Cristiano Aslani with an 8.5.
Yo, get me a job at FootMob right now. Somebody get me a job. What?
What are you giving us, Lonnie, today?
A 6.
I'll give him a 6.5.
Big errors. He was lucky that one was offside and one was well, actually, one did lead to a goal. big Aslani mistakes.
Got 90 minutes today too, so that's big for he gets a 6.5 for me purely out of giving us these minutes right now.
But then Henrik DJ Shinopo doesn't get 5 minutes. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Mkhitaryan another 90.
Mkhitaryan a 5.5.
I'll give him a 6.
You're too soft, bro.
I'll give him a 6. One missed chance that was big outside of that. There was also
how much? Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. I'm not trying to get.
Do you want to guess? Do you want to guess now that you know the scale for performances?
I'm gonna probably get annoyed, so I don't want to guess.
7.7. He got played. Mkhitaryan got played in and bothered me for a second here when he had Alexis streaking across the box and he decided to wait till the last minute to take a shot with his right yeah. foot too.
Yeah, when I got so pissed.
The shot was calling for a left foot. If you're going to use your right foot, like just hit it outside of the boot, play it across the box.
Or like a normal human, you see the guy defender closing in on you, boom, stop, put the brakes on, hit him with the hezi hay, and then go around, get it to Alexis, tapping. But no.
Or just went for glory. Your left foot.
You went for glory, and you got nothing. So 5.5. But 7.7 if we're in a
fight. Martinez, El Toro, Capitano.
Lauti, I will say a 6.
I loved a lot of what he did today, but it wasn't a great performance.
Yeah.
I loved some of his turns. He had
a ball where he took it from like maybe
he had a look away.
Our side of the midfield, maybe 10 yards across the midfield, and just drove right up the heart of the Genoa defense. And I thought that he was either going to play it out wide to, I think it was DeMarco on his left, and he didn't. And then he brought it in on his right, and it got away from him, and then there goes Genoa the other way.
Yeah. So. 76 minutes for him today. Probably not as sharp because actually my man's been playing every day, but he's not been playing 90. The last time he put in 90 for us was Juventus, February 4th.
Dang.
Against Roma, 75. Well, Salernitana, 60. 88 against Atletico. So that's basically 90. 65 Lecce.
That game was over. So he's able to come.
65, Lecce, 68, Atalanta, 76. So,
but you didn't need him for all those games.
No, you didn't.
You know what I mean? So I'm fine with it.
Alexis Sanchez, 65 minutes today. He gets a 7.5 for me, definitively.
I'll give him a 7. I don't think he's a 7.5.
An assist and a goal doesn't even get you a 7.5.
You're right. He assisted. Okay, fine. 7. I forgot he assisted the first goal. You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
7.5. Although the penalty should get, take 7.25.
7.25. I'm gonna tweet
people,
this.
People,
clip
don't know.
At him,
I so joke. Okay, I joke.
No, we're gonna tweet the clip at him, and we're gonna motivate him even more. Do we like what we saw from the returning Marcus Thuram with 25 minutes played today?
I loved it. I loved
it. Me too.
I fucking
loved
it. 6.5 for me.
He looked fine.
Yeah.
He looked fine.
Although, you know what? No, the one break where he was going off, he did start slowing down. And I wonder if that was a precaution, like him being careful. You know, like I didn't think he wanted to push it too much. Maybe he felt something. Maybe not. I'm hoping nothing. But I think he was playing more on the cautious side, which I am okay with. But yes, I liked everything that I saw from him. What he did along the outside of the 18, where he kind of like just, I don't even know what he did. It looked like almost he like dragged it back with his left foot around his right and cut back in on the inside there. And he gave a decent cross to Barella, who skied it and probably killed either a pigeon, maybe hit a child. We don't know. But yeah,
why do you think that he played today for 25 minutes?
Thuram?
Yeah, the original timeline.
I think it was to see if he's ready to go like the full, like at least 60 maybe. Maybe it was like a little warm up to see if he can go 60, 65 for Bologna.
Yeah, I feel like it has a little bit to do with with Inzaghi saying for the second leg against Atletico, I don't want him to like come back into the team and then immediately I'm going to rely on him for a big match. I think it was like, okay, let's get you a couple times out there
so that you're feeling good, hopefully maybe get you a goal before our big game.
Agreed.
Yeah. Arnautovic gets himself 14 minutes. What do we think?
Five? Nothing, you know, if he scores six, but he didn't score, so five.
Yeah.
Nothing special. Nothing. Hold nothing up play special. Was good. I did like what he was doing in the corner, just killing time off. I think that's important where a lot of young people or young players won't have the wherewithal to kind of just try to hold it up in the corner. I liked that he was able to do that. And listen, you didn't have to ask too much for him in those situations. So
remember when we used to have to throw on Ranocchia as a striker to end games?
I do.
Yeah. So there's fucking value in Arnautovic being able to hold the ball in the corner. Okay. That was our reality, like, really not that long. Like, 2-3 years ago. Like, it wasn't that long.
Fair. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's leave some time for announcements. Anything that we should let the Interisti know?
So, when we tweet out this episode, whoever likes and retweets it, and for Beto, make yourself on private so that we can see it, because we don't see it when you do it, or at the very least tag me on the tweet, whatever you have to do so that you can be included and not say it's rigged. But we're going to be giving away two cards. Should I tell them who they are?
Did we have them guess?
They voted that it was going to be treble winners, so they might as well know what treble winners are getting.
Yeah, go for it.
It's going to be a Wesley Schneider Prize Footballers from Top's Finest a 1959 retro Javier Zanetti refractor card.
Have that? Can I buy that off you?
The Zanetti or the
Zanetti?
Like, I don't know. I'll give you another one.
We'll give it to the listeners.
There's two. I got two, so I can give you.
But I didn't even know. I didn't even know that. That's fire,
bro.
Oh God, that's bro, perfect.
That's a sick card.
That is a sick card.
And then the West, you can't. The glares kind of get it. But that's a West from the Champions League.
Yep.
Bro. I mean, and since we are getting close to episode 100. We're in talks about doing some t-shirts, guys.
Yeah, t-shirts are
t-shirts
being talked about. If you guys have suggestions on kind of things in the works, yeah, let us know.
But we do. I don't know. I kind of want to tell them what we're thinking about.
Okay, that works for me.
So we were thinking about just. I'm guessing like a white t-shirt, because picture a jersey, right? A white kit. We're going to have like a crest. The crest is going to be the serpent crest from like the late 80s. So it'll be over the left, over your heart, kind of. Then the kit sponsor, and I'm using air quotes, will be Interviews Podcast. I wanted to do black, but then like since the logo like for Interviews Podcast is black, it would just kind of get lost in there, and then the only pop of color would be the crest. So figured make it the kit sponsor kind of some white t-shirts. If that's something you'd be interested in, obviously like let us know in the tweet too for the episode, because we do want to gauge interest and see if people would even be interested in buying them. I want to find out too. Obviously, we know not all our listeners are just in North America. We do have some listeners in various parts of the world, which is really awesome.
Yeah,
and I appreciate. I mean, I know Alessandro does too. We appreciate all you guys who listen. I mean, we could see where our listeners are, which is like sick. I mean, it's really cool to. When we started this, I didn't know what was going to come from it. I didn't know. If we were going to gain traction, I knew that the people that we were friends with would check it out. Whether that would lead to anything, who knew? But it's really cool to see how it's grown. But yeah, I want to find out if we could, you know, what we can do if we are able to get shirts out to you guys as well. Yeah. So that's what we got cooking.
Yeah, it's been a good year for Inter, so that means it's been a good year for the podcast. Yeah, definitely want to continue to bring some more new shit to you guys. And of course, appreciate you guys tuning in and week out. Alrighty, time to sign off.
Yes, sir.
In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.